Early this year, Dr. Cammie Fletcher began researching and writing the history of slavery, indentured servants, and tenant farmers at Mount Harmon Plantation in Cecil County. When she began the project, only one enslaved person in the history of this plantation was known. Through her research, she has found an additional 134. Fletcher, an associate professor of African American history at Delaware State University, tells us more about her research.
My research centers directly on the lived African American experience at Mount Harmon Plantation during both the colonial and antebellum periods. Before being brought onto this project, there was only one enslaved person known to have lived there, a man named Stephen, who became free during the antebellum era. My preliminary research has yielded a total of 135 enslaved African American women, men, and children. They lived and worked on the plantation from 1651, when the plantation dates back to, until 1864, when slavery was abolished in Maryland. The oldest African American on record to have been enslaved at Mount Harmon Plantation was Paul, born in 1686. When slave trader and Mount Harmon owner James Paul Heath died in 1746, 60-year-old Paul was one of 32 men, women, and children listed as inventory. It is believed that Paul was brought to the plantation from the West Indies by Heath, or that Paul was callously passed down to Heath from his father, who was also a slave trader. While Heath owned Mount Harmon Plantation, an indentured servant named John Brown, who could also have been an enslaved man, ran away from the plantation. Heath wrote a 1739 ad to capture him. Heath describes him as a 21-year-old, quote, servant man, tall, lusty fellow, with short brown hair, much curled, as if of a fair or rather sandy complexion. Brown took a horse and some clothes, passed as white, and trotted right off the plantation. The records do not show if he was caught and returned or escaped to freedom. A few years later, the Lateet and the George families took possession of the plantation. 62 of the enslaved women, men, and children were very gradually manumitted, or set free, by Mary George and Ann Eliza George Fisher, the daughter of Mary George Fisher and Sidney George Jr. Mary George manumitted 46 enslaved persons when her husband died, presumably getting rid of unwanted financial responsibility. She may have done this because of her burgeoning abolitionist identity, or because she moved to Delaware and had no place for enslaved peoples. Monetary value, based on the maximum lifetime labor a black body could produce, was at the foundation of white people's relationships with enslaved people. This is why many of them manumitted their, quote, old black people, as Ann Eliza George Fisher states in her will, recorded in 1811. This was no act of kindness or remorse for holding nearly 100 people in slavery. Manumitting older enslaved people freed Fisher from the taxes and financial strain that comes with clothing, feeding, housing, and caring for people who could no longer work the fields. However, she only freed 4 immediately. The rest were freed from 4 to upwards of 27 years later. Mount Harmon Plantation's last slaveholder was Sidney George Fisher Sr., the son of Ann Eliza George Fisher. Through his published diary, which dates from 1837 through 1850, we are able to piece together narratives through glimpses of the lives of African Americans on the plantation. We learn about Stephen and Becky, the 2 manumitted African Americans, as well as 10 enslaved African Americans: Mifflin, Lenora Leonard Bayard, Annie, Perry, Andrew, Sophia Sewell, Margaret Burke, Fanny, Davis, and Levin. We also learn about Ned Kennard and Dick, the 2 free black people, as well as the 7 overseers and their families: Ricards, George Weiss, father and son Darlington, Husfeldt, Andrew Pierce, and Lester. We learn of the slave sharing and frequent hiring out that occurred between Mount Harmon and neighboring Rose Hill Plantation, Fisher Sr. paid to have the enslaved Leno and Annie work at his plantation for years and hired them out. The two women were married to men on Mount Harmon Plantation. We also read of One Hand Stephen. Although manumitted, Stephen stayed on the plantation and performed the heavy labor of uprooting and transplanting trees. It is through the frequent hiring and firing of the overseers, particularly Charles Husfeldt, who was only hired from June 1845 through November 1845, that we learn of the whippings and the violence that occurred on Mount Harmon Plantation. Husfeldt, quote, gave Andrew a blow with the cowskin and used verbal and psychological abuse towards Stephen. Mount Harmon Plantation was recognized by the Maryland Historical Trust for its immense value to colonial and antebellum history, culture, and life. We should focus on the lives of people whose labor built the empire and the history that can lead us to understand Mount Harmon Plantation's role within the institution of slavery, indentured servitude, and tenant farming during the 18th and 19th centuries.
Learn more about the Mount Harmon Plantation at mountharmon.org. Learn more about Delaware State University at desu.org. Maryland Humanities is a statewide nonprofit that creates and supports educational experiences in the humanities that inspire all Marylanders to embrace lifelong learning, exchange ideas openly, and enrich their communities. Humanities Connection is produced by Maryland Humanities for WIPR. For Maryland Humanities, I'm Phoebe Stein.